Okay, I do want to thank the Shine Binds for the generous sponsorship of today's learning in the afternoon call, this week's learning in the afternoon call. And as always, a big thank you to the Frohlich Financial Group for their support of Talmud Torah in our community and our men's afternoon kollel. It's wonderful to see everyone again. So I spent some time delving a little bit into a question that we parenthetically crossed in our last series together. We learned about the question of the intersection of Kabbalah and Halacha. And in that context, we spoke about the mitzvah of tefillin. How many brachas one makes on the mitzvah of tefillin? Does the mitzvah of tefillin get one bracha or two brachas? And by extension, the nature of the mitzvah of tefillin altogether, is tefillin really two mitzvahs or is tefillin one mitzvah? We also addressed, and people followed up with me with great curiosity, and I too had curiosity. Once in a while, even as a Rav, you have the opportunity to pursue your curiosity in Talmud Torah. But the question of Baruch Shem Kvod, that Ashkenazim will make two brachos, we hedge our bet. Just in case we're wrong, we make a Baruch Shem after we make the second bracha on the head tefillin. And we asked, where do we see that we hedge in other areas of halacha? If we have a psak, we follow the conclusive psak, and we don't feel a sense of responsibility or obligation in order to hedge in other areas of halacha. Why are we hedging now? So, Baruch Hashem, I came along across a lot of Mar Makomos and some really incredible insights, including from Mori Barabi, Rav Shechter, we'll see in Eretz Tzvi, and from Rav Asher Weiss, and from Rav Avadi Yosef, and many others. So it may take us more than 1 week to go through it. So let's set up the whole conversation again. The Mishnah in the Perek HaTcheles, page Daflam and Chesam at Aleph in Menachos. If you're following along, you should have access to the source sheets or on the screen share as we learn here together. So the Mishnah says, Atcheles einim akeves es alavan, v'alavan einim akeves atcheles. In a time in which we had tcheles, some would argue we are in that time now, others would argue we're not yet back in that time now, whatever your personal practice is with wearing tcheles. But the Mishnah is explicit that tcheles does not preclude the lavan of tcheles, meaning even when you have an inability to fulfill the other one, you nevertheless can fulfill the one you have access to. So a lack of access to tcheles does not preclude or prevent you from fulfilling the mitzvah of the lavan, the white strings of tzitzis, and vice versa is also true. And here, the Mishnah, for our purposes, throws in tefillah shel yad eina me'akeves eshel rosh, v'shel rosh eina me'akeves eshel yad. We wear two tefillin. We wear one tefillin on the arm, if you're left-handed on your right arm, if you're right-handed on your left arm, both ostensibly opposite the heart. And we have one tefillin on our head, opposite the brain, two satellite dishes, two antennas that we are extending up towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be able to direct both our intellect and our emotion, our brain and our heart, to be in sync and synchronized towards the service of Hashem. Hold on 1 second. Let's mute all. Okay, towards the service of Hashem. So, similarly, just like the tchelis and the lavan, so too with the tefillin of the head and the tefillin of the heart, they're not ma'akev zu azu. So if you only have the ability to put the tefillin on your arm and not your head, you have an injury, you have a bandage, you have only one access to one tefillah is the singular of tefillin, then you would put it on your arm and still be yotzei the mitzvah. And similarly, if you only had the tefillin shel rosh, you were missing an arm, or you had a bandage on your arm, you only had access to the tefillah of the rosh, then you can fulfill the mitzvah by wearing the tefillin on the head, even though you don't have it on the arm. That is Gemara number one. And we're going to set up here what seems to be a stira, contradiction, or a challenge, how to reconcile all these Gemaras. Gemara number two is Gemara in Brachos. Gemara in Brachos on Daf Samach. And here the Gemara is telling us what should be the order of the way a Jew wakes up in the morning, what we wake up and what we recite on our lips, the Moda'ani, the Lokai Neshama, the brachas, birchas ha-shachar, we're familiar with it from the Siddur. Some of it appears in the Gemara, not all of it appears here in the Gemara. But in the context of what the Gemara does say, after going through the different brachas that we recite, shasa likot sarchi, ozei yisra begvura, otei yisra besifara. By the way, each of these birchas ha-shachar, when they were originally ordained, the Gemara tells us, they were done not the way we do in succession as part or in the context of the Siddur and Tefillah. They were done when a Jew actually went through that particular behavior. So when you put on your shoes, and when you got dressed, and when you put something on your head, with each of these behaviors, you made a bracha. And they all are acknowledging the gift, the blessing of the way we start our day. Kima'atev betzitzis, when you put on your tzitzis, you say, Asher kishonim tzavet zivanu, lehisatev betzitzis. We do that with a talis. We have a different bracha on a talis cotton. Somebody who only wears tzitzis, if you wear a talis gadol for shacharis, you don't make any bracha on your tzitzis. It is subsumed under the bracha you make on your talis. And here in the brackets, conveniently bracketed for you, ki manach tefillin When you put tefillin on your arm, you say, "Lahaniach tefillin." When you put the tefillin on your head, leima ashikshor mezavet zivanu al mitzvas tefillin. So if I just read this Gemara, in fact, if I read the first two Gemaras, what would I conclude? I would conclude I have two mitzvahs here. First of all, the Mishnah said in Menachos that the tefillah is not ma'akev the other one. So if I only have the tefillin of the arm or the tefillin of the head and I can only do one, it is not precluded, it is not compromised by the inability to do the other. Strongly suggesting that there are how many mitzvos? Two separate mitzvos. And that suggestion is reinforced here by the fact that we have how many brachos for these two tefillin? We have two brachos. And the Gemara here does not qualify and tell us only in a case where you interrupted or spoke or whatever unusual circumstance. The Gemara seems to say that, generally speaking, when you put on your tefillin, there are two tefillin. Each tefillah gets its own bracha, lahaniach tefillin on the arm, and al mitzvah tefillin on the head. So far, so good. It seems like two separate mitzvahs. But then we get to the Gemara in Menachos, andaf lamed chesam, and lamed vavam and aleph. And here the Gemara says the following, really from the top of the Gemara. Omar of chista, sach bein tefila la tefila, Chozer umavarach. Let's make this a little bit larger. For you, of course. I'm young and can see perfectly. Just joking, it's for me. Amar Rav Chista, sach ben tefila tefila. If you spoke, you put the tefillin on the arm. And then you spoke. You responded to a conversation. To someone else initiated. You initiated a conversation. Maybe even you answered Kedusha Amen Yehesh Meraba. In fact, the halacha has big distinctions. Why did you sach? What were you speaking about? Sichas chulin? Were you finding out what the score in the Yankee game was the night before? Was it sichas of kedusha? Were you answering kaddish or kedusha? Were you answering or showing courtesy to another person? But that's a little bit too detailed for now. For now, the Gemara says, if you spoke between tefillah and tefillah, between the tefillin of the arm and the tefillah of the head, chozer umavarach, you have to make a new bracha. Sach in lo sach lo. It sounds like that's only if you spoke that you make a second bracha. If you didn't speak, you don't. V'hashalach Rav Chiya b'reid Rav Huna b'shmeid Rav Yechna ha'tfilah shal yara omer ashek shor mitzvot zivano lan yech tfilin ha'tfilin shal rosha omer ashek shor mitzvot zivano ha'mitzvot tfilin. So it sounds like, what do you mean only if you spoke do you make a new bracha on the tfilin of the head? We have two separate brachas ordained for each of the tfilin. So what do you mean only if you spoke do you have to make a second bracha? It sounds like even if you didn't speak, you always make a separate bracha. So the Gemara says, Abai v'rova da'amir shavayu lo sach mevarech achas sach mevarech shtayim. And then the Gemara continues, Tachsa, Chzach, Bein Tfila, Tfila, Aveira, Hibiyada, Bechozer, and so on and so forth. It continues with this discussion. So what is the conclusion? What is the proper approach? Do we say one bracha? Do we say two brachas? The Gemara in Brachos strongly suggested you say two brachas. It didn't qualify it. Our Gemara here seems to qualify it and say it all depends on whether you spoke between putting on the tefillin of the arm and the tefillin of the head. So comes along Rashi, conveniently underlined the inside column, the right column, and says Rashi, mitzvah tefillin to achshav gomer zah mitzvah losach, ein mavarach el asha yad bavad. If you didn't speak, you only make one bracha, lahaniach tefillin, and that one bracha covers what? Your arm and your head. Sach, if you spoke, then mavarach shtayim, then you introduce that separate bracha of al mitzvah tefillin. Sach, ben tefillah tefillah, v'lo birach asherosh, v'asamach ha-bracha rishona. Avera hibiyado, and so on and so forth. So from Rashi, what is Rashi's opinion? Rashi's opinion is that ordinarily you only say one bracha lahaniach tefillin, and the one bracha lahaniach tefillin covers both the arm tefillin and the head tefillin. However, if you spoke between the arm tefillin and the head tefillin, then you have to introduce a new bracha. You repeat the bracha of lahaniach tefillin, and you add another bracha of al mitzvah tefillin. So Rashi says ordinarily one bracha. If you're a good boy and you didn't speak between the two, you just make one bracha, it covers both. But if you interrupted and spoke, then you'll make two brachas on the shalrosh. You have to repeat the lahaniach you made on the arm, and you have to introduce a separate bracha of al mitzvah tefillin on the head. That is the opinion of Rashi. It's the opinion of Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. Let's go down. Rabbeinu Tam writes, Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, lo sach mevarach achas, sach mevarach shtayim. Everyone see where I am? Following alongside? Good. Perish bekuntrus, Rashi, lo sach mevarach achas, ben shayad, ben shalrosh, sach mevarach shtayim, lahaniach tefillin b'shayad, v'al mitzvah tefillin b'shalrosh. Again, repeating the opinion of his grandfather Rashi, that if you didn't speak, you make one bracha that covers both. If you spoke, then you made a lahaniach on the arm, and you have to make another lahaniach and al mitzvah tefillin on the head. For Rabbeinu Tam Perish, lo sach mevarach achas l'shalrosh, Mavarch al mitzvah tefillin, shezui brachaso. Sach mavarch beiz l'sharosh l'haniach ve'al mitzvahs. Rabbeinu Tam understands and interprets the Gemara entirely differently than Rashi, and says, no, even if you didn't speak, you make two brachas. The chiddush of the Gemara is that if you spoke, you have to make two brachas on the sharosh. Ordinarily, if you don't speak, you make one bracha on the shalyad and one bracha on the sharosh. If you spoke, then you make the one bracha on the shalyad, and you have to repeat that bracha and say the second bracha on the shalrosh. So says Rabbeinu Tam, even when you don't interrupt, even if you didn't speak, even under the best of circumstances, you still make two brachas, one on the shalyad, one on the shalrosh. When the Gemara said that you say two, it means when you spoke, now the shalrosh doesn't only get one bracha. If you spoke, now the shalrosh gets what? A second bracha. So Rabbeinu Tam disagrees and says ordinarily you make one bracha on each. If you spoke, you make one on the arm and you'll have to repeat two on the head. What are they arguing about? What are Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam arguing about? So comes along the Rashba and he explains. We'll come back to the halacha in a moment. Where did I put that Rashba? Here he is. Comes along the Rashba. It's not really the Rashba. It's Miyuchas LaRasha. We attribute this commentary, the Chidush HaRashba Menachos, is not really the Rashba, it is attributed to the Rashba, and he says the following. He says, Sach Mavarch Shtayim Nira Keshitas Rabbeinu Tam Tvei. He says, I agree with Rabbeinu Tam over Rashi. Why? Ha'achas Nira Ketikun Shtei Brachos L'Shtei Tfilin Shtei Mitzvos Hein. He says, Rabbeinu Tam understands that there are two mitzvos. Why would I say two separate brachos? Because every mitzvah demands its own Birchas HaMitzvah. If I'm saying two brachos, it must be because it's two mitzvos. Mida amrinan tefillah shel yad eina ma'akev shel rosh. And where do we know that from, says the Rashba? Why is Rabbeinu Tam's position more compelling? Go back to that Mishnah we began with in Menachos. The Mishnah in Menachos began with and said that these mitzvahs are not ma'akva zu'azu. They don't preclude you. They're not contingent one on the other. They're not conditional one on the other. You can fulfill each one independently. If you can fulfill each one independently, what does that tell me? That each one is its own mitzvah. If each one is its own mitzvah, each one demands its own bracha. Unlike Rashi, that one bracha on both, Rabbeinu Tam says each gets its own bracha. V'im tamar im kein d'shtei mitzvah sein, kolachas mitzvah b'fnei atzma, amai tikun shoyad laniach demashma haschalas mitzvah, uv'sharosh al mitzvahs demashma de'achshav gomer ha-mitzvah. Kevin d'shnei mitzvah sein, hayolana levarach shteyim b'lashon echad, u'shteyim levarach laniach o al mitzvahs, shorei zu eino gemar shal zu. So now the Rashba asks on himself, and he says, if Rabbeinu Tam is correct, and really each of the tefillin is its own mitzvah, and that's why they're not conditional one on the other, and that's why each gets its own bracha, then it should have been the same birchas ha-mitzvah on both. Either lahaniach tefillin on the arm and then another lahaniach tefillin on the head, or al mitzvah tefillin on the arm and another al mitzvah tefillin on the head. But since when do we begin lahaniach and then conclude al mitzvos, making it sound like the tefillin sharosh is the conclusion of the tefillin shayad? So yes, Rabbeinu Tam is more compelling, says the opinion of the attributed to the Rashba, namely that each one is a separate mitzvah. I have two mitzvahs, a mitzvah of tefillin shel yad and a mitzvah of tefillin shel rosh. That's more compelling, Rabbeinu Tam. Why? Because of the Mishnah Menachos, and that's why there are two brachos. But if that's true, why don't I say the same bracha on both? Yesh lomar dafagad d'shtei mitzvah sein mikom mokom kevin dekro ka'amar mitzvah shel yad taktim shel rosh ki dechsiv bekulu parshas to tefillin ukshartim losa yadecha kodem vayilu tutafos in kein avi kamando amar krasha rosh afagad the mitzvah apay nafshei havishtei mitzvah shtrich achas lios kaimas chaverta tikshaberech ala kodemes yesh levarach b'loshen kedima v'ala meucheres b'loshen gemara mitzvah. So the Rashba answers his own question and says, true, there are two separate mitzvahs, but every time that the Torah, all four times that the Torah records the mitzvah of tefillin, it always records the arm tefillin before the head tefillin. So since the Torah always records the arm tefillin before the head tefillin, therefore we structured the brachas to reflect that by making two separate brachas, lahaniach tefillin on the arm, and al mitzvah tefillin on the head. V'lachin, kishemavarach, v'shal yad, b'lashon haschala, v'shal rosh, b'lashon gemar, afa b'sheinu mitzvah achas. V'enach anami, il malo hayayochol aniach, shal rosh, kodem shal yad, kamo shal yad, shal rosh, hayimavarach shteyim b'lashon echad, hilchach, leka lakutsi, b'lashon habrachos, d'chad ha-mitzvah hi. fine. And then he also talks about Rabbeinu Tam's opinion about if you spoke in between, why you will now make both brachos on the tefillin of the head. So the Rashba says the machlokas Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam is contingent on whether you see tefillin as two separate mitzvos or you see them as one. If you assume it's one mitzvah, so it's logical to say only one bracha that covers both. If you assume that they're two separate mitzvos, then they'll each get their own. They'll each get their own bracha. Now the question that should be jumping off, and if I unmuted you, that you should all be screaming from the rooftops is, I understand Rabbeinu Tam's contention that they're two separate mitzvos, and therefore they each get their own bracha. But what should bother you? If you speak in between, Rabbeinu Tam said what? Now I have to make two brachas on the Shel Rosh. Why? If each one is its own mitzvah, and Al Mitzvah's tefillin covers the Shel Rosh, why do I have to repeat the Lahaniach? Lahaniach tefillin is on the arm tefillin. Why do I need to repeat Lahaniach and introduce Al Mitzvahs for the tefillin Shel Rosh? If, as Rabbeinu Tam contends and the Rashba endorses, really each of them is a separate mitzvah, and therefore each one gets its own bracha, if I spoke in between, why do I have to repeat Lahaniach? Shouldn't the Al Mitzvahs tefillin suffice on the head tefillin as well? I want you to hold that question. We're going to come back to that question. It is a great question. But let's go back. First of all, by the way, the Rashba's analysis, the Rambam, when he counts the mitzvos in the Hilchos, in the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam counts Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh as two separate mitzvos. The Rasha in his Minyan HaMitzvos counts them as two separate mitzvos, whereas the Bahag counts them as one mitzvah. The Bahag counts them as one mitzvah and the Rambam counts them as two. And you could argue, again, the Rishonim are lining up that what? The Rambam is like whom? Rabbeinu Tam. And the Bahag is like whom? Rashi. That we have a machlokas Rishonim. Is tefillin one mitzvah with two parts, or is tefillin two separate mitzvahs with so far maybe two nafkaminas? One is, would they be ma'akev one the other? Although all the Rishonim have to explain the Mishnah that says they're not. And number two, would they each demand their own bracha, or would you say one bracha on, would you say one bracha on both? Good. What's the halacha? Hilchos tefillin simen chaf hey. Sif hey. Everyone see it? Yechavein b'hanachasam. Person should have kavana when they put their tefillin on. What's the kavana? Shetzivana kadosh baruch hu laniach arba parshas elu, that Hashem commanded us to put on these four sections. Sheyesh bam yichud shmov yitzias mitzrayim. The themes, of course, are the unity of God's existence, His dominion and providence in the world. He took us out of Mitzrayim. Al azroa kineged alev, on the arm opposite the heart. Al rosh kineged hamoach, on the head opposite the head. The brain, kedeshin nizkor nisav neflosh asa imanu, so that we are cognizant. The purpose of tefillin is to be mindful of the miracles He did. Shei modem a yichudu v'asher lo hakoach v'hamemshala be'elyonu v'tachtonim lasos b'em kirtzono v'yishabed l'kodesh baruch hu v'neshamah shei b'moach v'gam alev sheikar ha'tayvas v'machshavos. We direct and channel and we submit both our intellect and our emotion to Hashem. Uvizei yizkor abori v'yamitana asov. We remember Hashem and we pursue His agenda, not ours. Good. That's the theme. There you go, the Tam HaMitzvah. But now the Machaber of Yosef Karo continues. V'yaniach shel yad tchila, v'yivarach laniach tefillin, v'achar kach yaniach shel rosh, v'lo yivarach ki im bracha achas l'shteihem. So the Machaber is of the opinion that what do? Rav Yosef Karo paskins like Rashi, and like the Rif, and the Rambam, even though he really counts them as two separate mitzvah, also says this, that you make one bracha. You make one bracha, laniach tefillin, and then you put on the Yaniach shayat chila v'yivarch laniach v'achikach yinach shorosh v'lo yivarch kim bracha achas. The Mechaber is clear, like Rashi and like the Rif and like the Rambam, one bracha covers the shayad and the shorosh. Not surprisingly, who jumps in? The Ramah. V'yeshomim levarch al shorosh al mitzvah tefillin. And the Ramah says, what are you talking about? Ashkenazim, we have a different custom. The Ramah paskins like Rabbeinu Tam and like the Rosh, that afil lo hifzik bein tayim, even if you didn't interrupt. And now the Ramah throws in a whammy, and the Ramah says, but you know, it's a good idea to say Baruch Shein Kvod Malchuso Liolam Va'ed after the second bracha. Why are you doing that? Let's go downstairs to the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah tells us, why would you do that? Chaf Aleph, Sivkat and Chaf Aleph, Mishim Chshash Safik Bracha Levatala. What's Simen Resh Vav? Simen Resh Vav are Hilchos Brachos. And there in Simen Resh Vav, Hilchos Brachos is really Hilchos Peros. It's not in your source sheets, but I'll just read it to you. The halacha there in Hilchos Peros, Simen Resh Vav, talks about, what if you make a bracha on a fruit and you drop it? You lose it. What do you do now? You have nothing to eat. You made the bracha. How do you avoid taking Hashem's name in vain? So the Mechaber there says, very interesting formulation. Al shehotzi shem shamayim levatala. Because you took God's name in vain, now you have to say, Baruch shem kvod malchuso liolam va'ed. Because you took God's name in vain, in the case of the fruit, sometimes when it comes to brachos, so therefore you say, Baruch shem kvod. What is that Baruch shem kvod doing for you? Does it make it that you didn't take God's name in vain? Or no, you took God's name in vain, but somehow this is a kapara, this is a tikkun, it somehow is a repair for the fact that you took God's name in vain. We'll come back to that in a moment. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes, where did the Ramah get this from? Why are you saying Baruch Shem? Because we have this tradition that when you say a bracha and you are concerned that perhaps you took God's name in vain, the way to relieve that concern is Baruch Shem. Veloshu Safek Gomer, says the Mishnah Berurah, tell you the truth, not really a doubt. Mishnah Berurah has a very astute observation. And he says, when we make the second bracha, al mitzvah tefillin, someone asked me privately in the chat, what's the kavana for that? The Mechaber gave us a kavana for lahaniach tefillin. The Ramah did not give us a kavana for al mitzvah tefillin. But the kavana is a continuation of that theme. Al mitzvahs, for doing a mitzvah, connecting our head and our heart to Hashem. Aryeh Kaplan has a book on tefillin, and he talks about the beautiful, magnificent symbolism. Tefillin are made entirely from an animal, every part of it. The box, the parchment, the ink, even the thread that we use to sew up the tefillin, every part of the tefillin is made from an animal. And what's the symbolism or significance, says Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan? We're taking animal and we are applying human initiative, human innovation, human effort, and we are mekadesh l'chol. We're taking the most base thing there is, an animal, and we make it something which is a davar shebekdusha, it has holiness. And you're not allowed to bring it in the bathroom, and it would require geniza chamura, you have to bury it. We take something all animal, and through human initiative, we transform it and elevate it into something holy. It's very interesting. The halacha is that your tefillin have to be entirely squared, meruba, has to be squared. We recently had a team of sofrim. It's hard to believe, actually, this was just a few months ago, that we were able to pack a hallway with people and a team of sofrim, and everyone could be on top of one another, and they were there to check the knot and to check that they fit right, and they also have an instrument to make sure that the boxes of the tefillin are square. Why is it important they're square? Because animals don't square things off, and things don't grow square. A square, meruba, reflects human initiative. So the whole notion that the tefillin is square and it has to be precisely square, it's because that precision is a reflection of human initiative. So the whole tefillin is the idea of being mekadesh. We take an animal and we elevate it by turning it into something which is treated with the highest level of kedusha, of stam. It requires geniza chamura. You wouldn't be able to just discard it or throw it out. And he explains very beautifully there, Aryeh Kaplan, it's a short book. He elaborates on the symbolism. He says the ritzuos, the straps, are like an umbilical cord. We are connecting and attaching ourselves to Hashem that He nourishes us. He has a chapter there, why women don't wear tefillin. And he says, because women, what's the tefillin called? A bias, the batim. A bias, the box is like the uterus, it's the bias, it's the home. And the strap is like the ritzua is like the umbilical cord. And the images are attaching ourselves to Hashem. And a woman who relates to that more intrinsically, more naturally, more anatomically, she doesn't need tefillin to connect to that symbolism, that metaphor. But men who don't anatomically experience or connect to that, we do need tefillin. So maybe that's part of the extra kavanas I've given you for al mitzvah tefillin. But back to the Mishnah Berurah. So the Mishnah Berurah says, why are we hedging? This was your question to me when we learned our previous subject. Why are we hedging? I don't understand. It's machlokas Rashi Rabbeinu Tam. It's machlokas between the Rambam and the Bahag. So why are we hedging? We paskin, the Ramah paskins like the Rush, the Ramah paskins like the Rabbeinu Tam. So the halacha is you make two brachas. Since when do we hedge? So Mishnah Berurah is quick to point out, we don't really have a suffix. We know the halacha. And if you didn't say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso, you didn't make a bracha levatala. We know the halacha. You say the second bracha. So why are we doing it? Ela da'anan b'nei Ashkenaz svir lan lahalacha kedas Rabbeinu Tam rak l'ravcha demilsa lahotzi atzmeni midei kol pikpuk noagin lomar Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso liolam v'ed. Says the Mishnah Berurah. So why are we doing it? Because we want everyone to be happy. We want to put a smile on everyone's face. So in order to join our Sephardic brothers, in order to make the Rashi, the Rif, and the Rambam happy too, we say Baruch Shem. But we really know we don't have to. And it's not really a Suffolk bracha or Suffolk bracha levatala. We're confident in our position to make two brachas. We do it in order to connect with everyone else. The proper way is you make a lahaniach over la'asiyasan. You know, too many people, they're already halfway down their arm, they're still saying the bracha. You have to make the bracha before you tighten the strap on your arm. And then you make an amitzas tefillin and you tighten it on your head and then say baruch shem after you've tightened it on your head. People are not careful, scrupulous in the way they put their tefillin on. So the Mishnah Berurah clarified for us that the whole introduction of Baruch Shem that the Ramah has here is not because we're really doubtful what the halacha is. Our halachic process comes to the conclusion to make two brachas. So why are we saying Baruch Shem? Because if we can join those who only say one bracha, and we can give the image or illusion that we too are only saying one bracha, then Shalom HaYisrael, Matovu, so we say Baruch Shem. But that didn't sit well with you, and it doesn't sit well with me. Because since when is the Ramah in the business of trying to make everybody happy? You can't make everybody happy in halacha. We have natural machloksim. We have debates left and right. So since when is the Ramah in the business of trying to make everyone happy by suggesting we say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Odi Olam Va'ed? Frankly, that is a Mishnah Berurah Chavetz Chaim attitude, to take every Das Yachid and figure out how to observe halacha in a way that everybody can be happy. Let me give you an example. Do you say Amen after the Brach of Avarabba? Do you say Amen after the bracha of Gal Yisrael before Shemona Esrei? Please God, we'll daven with a minyan again soon. I'm hoping a week from today we'll begin our outdoor minyanim, slowly, carefully, incrementally. And we'll hear the chazan make these two brachas, Gal Yisrael and HaBocher B'Amo Yisrael Bi'Ava. Do you answer Amen? The Mechaber says, no. You don't answer Amen, it would be a hefsek for us. We have to go right into Shema, right into Shemona Esrei, you don't say Amen. The Ramah says, yes. What's the problem? Answering Amen to the Chazan is not a hefsek. You answer Amen to both of those brachos. What do? The Ramah is very conclusive. The Ramah says you answer Amen. And if you're standing near a real Fabrenta person who knows the Ramah, they'll answer Amen b'koram to both those brachos in shul because they know the halacha that you answer Amen. Comes along the Mishnah Berurah and you know what he says? You know what you really should do? We want everyone to be happy. So put yourself in a situation where you can't answer Amen. How? By concluding both of those brachos with the chazan. You can't answer Amen to your own bracha. So if you conclude Gal Yisrael, and you conclude HaBocher B'Amo Yisrael Bi'Ava with the chazan, now you can't answer Amen. So it's not that you didn't answer Amen because you hold like the Mechaber, really you hold like the Ramah that you could answer Amen. You're just not answering Amen because the situation is such that you finished the bracha with the chazan, so you can't answer Amen. So there's an example where the Mishnah Berurah introduces a chap. Here's how you can say it in a way where you'll make everybody happy. But since when does the Ramah introduce a chap, a shtick, say Baruch Shem to avoid the bracha levatala? It doesn't sit well why we would have to do it. Parenthetically, what's the halacha with if you spoke in between? So here the Mechaber writes, Asa lahafsik b'dibar b'in tefila shayad tefila shorosh, im hifsik mevarach al shorosh al mitzvah tefillin. Ulididon denoag in levarach shtei brachas afim lahifsik, tzorach lachzor levarach al shorosh v'gam al mitzvahs. So what does the Mechaber holds again consistently like Rashi, and Ramah holds again consistently like Rabbeinu Tam. And we still have to explain the Rabbeinu Tam, we're going to come back to it. Good. So how do we understand the Baruch Shem? So I want to show you an amazing Aruch HaShulchan. You asked, I researched. I found this Aruch HaShulchan, incredible Aruch HaShulchan. It's going to blow you away. You're going to be so glad that you logged into the afternoon kolal today. And it's going to give you a whole new understanding. The Mishnah Berurah said, why do we say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Odi Olam Va'ed? Because we saw in Hilchus Bracha, Shemen Reish Samach, that if you make a bracha in order for it to avoid it being a bracha levatala, say Baruch Shem. Good. He comes along the Aruch HaShulchan and he says, no, that's not why. We don't do shtick like that. Look at Halacha, first Halacha Yeral, if he quotes the Ramah, Kein Pashal Haminag, B'nei Ashkenaz, make two brachas, and you say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Odi Olam Va'ed, Mishum Chashas Shavik Bracha Levatala, just like Simon Reish Vav, and so on and so forth. Good. But look at Halacha Yud Beis. Ula Niaz Daiti says, the Aruch HaShulchan of Yechiel Michal Epstein, Nira Da Amiras Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Odi Olam Va'ed, Eino Mitam Shavik Bracha, elamitam acher. If it bothered you, since when do we do that? Why would the Ramah hedge here and he doesn't hedge elsewhere? It bothered the Aruch HaShulchan as well. And he comes up with a very different, very creative understanding of why we say Baruch Shem. V'afsha poskim kosvu shehu mitam zeh mikomokam ha-minag mitam acher. T'hinei bebar t'hinei t'iktaknu t'eich efshel avar shtei brachos al davar echad. V'gam yesh mishehik shal ikar shita subein etam. Shereshanina b'tosefta de brachos v'arambam maisros de mafres truma trumas maiser u'maiser sheni ka'achas mavarach brach achas lekulan. M'kein eich yitkaknu shtei brachos al shtei atfilin. They ask about the Rabbeinu Tam. Even if you hold these two separate brachos, just like Truma and Meiser Sheni are all different brachos, but if you're doing them all at once, you make one bracha on them all. So even according to Rabbeinu Tam, that it may be true that they're two separate brachos, why does that by definition mean two separate mitzvos? Why does that mean it's two separate brachos? Maybe even then you would say one bracha on them all. So listen to what he says. V'lachein, nirali, debirchas al mitzvos tefillin, hi bracha hoda'a. Kamashakasav Mikodan Bios Mitzvah Zu Hakesher Hagadol Shemakasher Yisrael Avim Shemashemayim. Really? So mamish an einfal. It's a totally different way of understanding the Birchas Tefillin. Says Daruch HaShulchan, the Bracha L'Aniach Tefillin, that's the Birchas HaMitzvah. And the Bracha of Al Mitzvah Tefillin, that's not a Birchas HaMitzvah. It's a Birchas Hoda'a. Hashem, we're so grateful to you that you've attached us, you've tied us, you've connected us to you. Lahudos Lashem Yisbarach HaTov HaZeh Uvechiyo She'ikar HaKesheru B'Pasuk Shema Yisrael V'lachein Anu Omer Baruch Shem Kvamal Chusol Yolam V'ed Kemo She'Yakov Avinu Anakein Be'esha HaShvatim Omer Shema Yisrael. The reason we say Shema Yisrael has nothing to do with hedging in Halacha. We say Shema Yisrael, why? Because La'aniach Tefillin is a Birchas HaMitzvah. Al-Mitzvah's Tefillin is a Birchas Hoda'a. And just like that Birchas Hoda'a, La'al-Mitzvah's Tefillin is like Shema. And what did we say after Shema? Baruch Shem. And how did we say the Baruch Shem after Shema with Yaakov? We said it quietly. Why? What's the whole episode there? Yaakov was worried that his children were really going off the derech. So they declared Shema to tell him they're really on the derech. So he responded, Baruch Shem Kvar Malchus Oli Olam Va'ed. And we don't know what to do when we say Shema. To say it out loud, it doesn't appear in the Torah. To ignore it altogether, Yaakov Avinu said it. So what's our compromise? We say Baruch Shem, but we say it quietly. The Aruch HaShulchan takes a page out of that Medrash and says, since the second bracha of Al Mitzvah's Tefillin is not a Birchas HaMitzvah, that was the bracha of Aniach Tefillin. That answers why the question on Rabbeinu Tam. Why are you saying two brachas? Even when it comes to other mitzvahs, when you do multiple separate mitzvahs together, you can make one bracha. Here too, you're really making only one bracha. L'haniach. Al mitzvahs is not a birchas al mitzvah. It's a birchas hodah, shevach vodah. And what's the shevach vodah? Namely, that Hashem, you connected us, you attached us to you. And that is, we have to wear tefillin when we say Shema. So therefore, we invoke Baruch Shem. Tefillin comes from the language of plila. It's an os. It's edus. It's testimony that we, that the shechina, that the divine dwells on us. V'zeh perish the al mitzvahs tefillin, klomar al masha Hashem yizbarach hischaber aleinu, anu nosnal yizbarach shevach v'hodaya al zeh. We're given a Kadosh Baruch Hu praise and gratitude for this fact. And therefore, we follow it up by saying Baruch Shem. So, was that not worth coming to the afternoon kol for? An entirely different understanding of both the second bracha of Al Mitzvah's Tefillin, that it's not a Birchas HaMitzvah, and that therefore Baruch Shem, when the Ramah says, say Baruch Shem, it's not for the Mishnah Berurah's reason that we're hedging to avoid a bracha levatala, but rather it is because we're invoking Kabbalah's Malchus Shemaim, and just like Shema is followed by Baruch Shem, so too this bracha of Halav Ha'odah to Hashem is followed with Baruch Shem. But let's go back to the question of, is it hedging? Why? Because Rav Shlomo Klumer in his Halachah HaShlomo brings up a great question. If you assume like the Mishnah Berurah did, Rav Shlomo Klumer lived before the Mishnah Berurah, but if you assume like the Mishnah Berurah did, that the Ramah says you say Baruch Shem because in fact halachically you're hedging, you're making sure that you didn't take God's name in vain, then the following question comes up. What if you hear someone make the bracha of Al Mitzvah's Tefillin, should you answer Amen? Why would you not answer Amen? Because if they're saying Baruch Shem to their own bracha to avoid it being a bracha levatala, maybe you shouldn't answer Amen to a bracha levatala. Good question. You're standing next to somebody putting on their tefillin. You're 8 feet away because you're socially distancing. But you're standing 8 feet away, you can still hear their bracha. So someone makes a bracha laniach tefillin, you answer Amen. Someone makes a bracha al mitzvah tefillin. Do you answer amen? They themselves are going to say Baruch Shem Kvod to avoid it being a bracha levatala. If they themselves are going to hedge by saying Baruch Shem, should you answer amen to their bracha? Azay is the kasha from the Reb Shlomo Kluger. He says the following: Imroilan is amen achar berachas tefillin shel rosh ki rak safik bracha. For after Rav Apostol misvil et zarech lebaruch mikomak mi yeshlocha shlomi uta kama de ein onem amen de ein onem achar nachriyam avarech. Says Rav Shlomo Kluger, no problem. Answer amen. Why? When do you not answer amen under a bracha? When the safek is maybe the non-Jew who recited a blessing was really having in mind idolatry. So your amen would be a ditto to their idolatry. But if they're answering amen after someone who had a safek in halacha, but we know that their intent was towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, their intent was the proper intent. So your amen cannot have a negative connotation. Your amen is a hedged amen too. So therefore he says, then you would answer amen with no hesitation. If there's a reason to answer, so if you're saying the bracha, that's enough of a reason to answer amen. Even if really you weren't supposed to say that bracha, but if it's a legitimate bona fide bracha and the person had the proper intent, that is a legitimate okay amen. And therefore, if you hear someone saying the amen of am mitzvah tefillin, you would be okay. So Rabbi Brand points out, it would depend if you answer like the Aruch HaShulchan, then you answer amen without a problem. Exactly. According to the Aruch HaShulchan, mitzvah tefillin is a birchas halav odah. The Baruch Shem is not hedging, so the question doesn't even come up to begin with. Certainly you answer amen. The question is, if you assume the reason that he's saying Baruch Shem is not because of Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim and a birchas hodah, but if you assume it's a birchas HaMitzvah, and he's saying Baruch Shem to hedge, so that it's not a bracha levatala, then should you answer amen? And even then, Ha'eluch HaShlomo of Shlomo Kluger in this long tshuva, or this somewhat lengthy tshuva, says you would answer amen. Others disagree. The Yalkut Yosef. Yalkut Yosef says the following. Rav Avad Yosef, will end today with this, and then we'll go more into how Baruch Shem works next week, and we'll go more into Rav Shechter, Rav Usher Weiss, is tefillin one mitzvah, is tefillin two mitzvahs, and very, very geschmack lumdus in it. So Yaakov Yosef, Rav Avad writes the following, Lo yivarach ki im bracha achas l'shteihem, shebirchas lanech tefillin ha-tefillin sh'oyad, poteres gam tefillin sh'rosh. We know that's the Sephardic practice, to follow the Mechaber, to follow Rav Yosef Karo, you make one bracha. In fact, the Sephardim put on the arm tefillin while sitting. You make a lahaniach, they put on the arm tefillin while sitting, then they stand and continue with the head tefillin with no interruption. The one bracha, lahaniach, applies to both. Ulam, Rav Avadya feels obligated to also share his opinion for his brothers, the Ashkenazim. Ha-Ashkenazim avarchim ha-tefillin sh'rosh ha-mitzvah tefillin, v'nao gulavarach bracha zu balachash. Ooh. Ba'achar anachas tefillin sh'rosh v'hiduka na'rosh omen baruch shem kvod malchus olam va'ed. He says the minhag is to say it quietly. In order why? To avoid the whole question of halacha halacha shlomo. Rav Avadya disagrees with Shlomo Kluger. And he says, since that bracha, according to the Sephardic position, is a bracha levatala. For the Sephardim, you make one bracha, laniach tefillin on both. So the fact that the Ashkenazi adds an al mitzvah tefillin, it's a bracha levatala. So what should the Sephardi do? If the Ashkenazi is kind and courteous, he should say that bracha softly, quietly, so as not to put anyone in the position of having to answer amen. But let's say the Ashkenazi followed Rav Shlomo Kluger and proudly, out loud, made the bracha al mitzvah tefillin, then the Sephardi should be maharher amen belibo, should just think amen in his heart, but not articulate it out loud. Fine. So we've seen a lot. We saw machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Two brachas or one bracha. We saw machlokas Rambam and Bahag. Two mitzvahs or one mitzvah. And the Rashba explained that the machlokas Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam is exactly that same machlokas. If it's two mitzvahs, then two brachas. If it's one mitzvah, then it would get one bracha. we saw that Baruch Shem perhaps is hedging. So if you don't really need the second bracha, you undid a bracha levatala by saying Baruch Shem. If that's the case, why are we only hedging here, nowhere else? So the Aruch HaShulchan said, that's not why you're saying Baruch Shem. You're saying Baruch Shem because you are invoking Kabbalah's Malchus Shemaim, just like Shema is followed by Baruch Shem, so too this is followed by Baruch Shem. However, do you say Amen afterwards? Halafa HaShlomo, or Shlomo Kluger said yes. Rabbi Avadya said no. And therefore he encourages an Ashkenazi to say that second bracha quietly. The question I leave you with, which we'll start next time, is according to Rabbeinu Tam, if you spoke between the arm tefillin and the head tefillin, and come to the head tefillin, how many brachas do you say? Two. You repeat Lahaniach, and you introduce Al Mitzvahs. Why? That's our question. Why are you reintroducing Lahaniach? You said Lahaniach on the arm tefillin. And the tefillin of the head gets its own new bracha. According to the Rashba, it's a separate mitzvah, gets its own bracha. Why do you have to repeat Lahaniach on the head if you spoke in between? It's a gevaldik akasha. I thank you so much for joining, and I look forward to continuing this Amir Tashem next week.